Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day we see how the Bible changes and transforms our thinking. And yesterday we read the Ten Commandments in the Bible. As we're trying to learn about God's holiness, what makes God holy and what makes his people holy? If he says his people are going to be made holy, what does that actually mean? Ten Commandments are a big part of that. Now I asked you yesterday to think a little bit about what the commandments say about God and what matters to him. And to explore that a little bit, we're going to look at the commandments in two parts. The first four commandments really are the most directly applicable to learning about God himself. He's giving four commandments there about how people are meant to relate directly to him. So the Ten Commandments start with God actually saying something about himself. He's the God who saved Israel. Saved them. He doesn't say whether they deserved it. He doesn't say anything about that. All he says is he is the God who saved this people, who brought them out of slavery in Egypt. What he's telling them is he is a God of grace and generosity. He's given them this amazing, incredible gift of their salvation, regardless of whether they deserved it. That's just the kind of God he is. And that's important to remember that that's what happened first. So these laws then are not a way for them to earn their salvation. This wasn't the way that they acted in order to get saved. This is how they're supposed to act as a result of having been saved. It's really important. It was important for the Jews, it's important for Christians to remember as well, that following God's laws, moral laws in particular, is not a way to earn God's love, it's a way to show your love for God. It's a way to show your thanks for what God has done for you, rather than to get God to do something for you or not do something against you. Part of the way the Israelites are supposed to show their thanks is by showing God their respect and admiration for him through acts of worship. That's why God specifically says they are not to worship anything else. If they start to worship other gods or little idols, statues, and that kind of thing, then they'll be showing that they've forgotten what God has done for them. They're no longer showing their thanks for God's salvation. They're starting to say other things saved them. God wants them to remember that he, the Lord, or Yahweh, saved them, not these other gods. If they start to show their respect and admiration and love for other gods, then they've ceased to show their thanks to the God who actually did save them. Now, the other thing is they're not supposed to use God's name in vain. Even his name is special. And think about, you know, if you were to meet a head of state or you were to meet the queen or somebody like that, you'd probably get a bit of coaching beforehand on how to speak to them. Don't approach them, they'll approach you. You know, here's how you're to address the queen and how you're not to address the queen. There'd be some coaching there to show respect. And in the same way, those who want to know God, who want to be God's people, need to know, don't use his name improperly. As it says, you know, don't use his name in vain. His name is to be respected and honored and worshipped, not to be thrown around as a curse word or anything like that. So you can see there some of the ways that God wants his name and his identity as the God who saved them to be preserved, honored, and respected. Now fourth, the fourth commandment that deals with God is the one about the Sabbath day, the holy day that God set aside when he was creating, when he was working to create the earth. He took a day off. And that seems to make it holy, because a holy God set it aside. It's now set aside for God. That first definition of holy we looked at on Monday. It's set aside for God. It's God's special day, and he wants his people to show that they're not worshiping themselves, their abilities, their work, their ability to generate income, but rather that they're worshiping God. So he wants them to set aside that day each week as a day of rest, not a day of work. Now we're used to these rules when we deal with powerful people, but this is God we're talking about. Why is God doing this? Is he just a despotic ruler trying to lord it over, literally? People who have just been freed from slavery, who are probably at one of their most difficult times? Is this just God playing games and trying to come up with arbitrary rules that people need to follow? I don't think so. There's more to it. This has more to do with God's identity. God is holy. God is perfect. God is completely other than us. For us to know and relate to that God as unholy, sinful, broken people should be impossible. Now, these laws flow directly from who God is. God is holy, and so for us people, to relate to Him, we need to be holy as well. He made us that way, but we fell from that. We fell from grace when we fell into sin, when human beings first rebelled against God. And so that means for us to relate to God again, we need to be holy. This is illustrated beautifully in the book of Isaiah, where a prophet had a vision of being in God's presence in God's temple. And here's the kind of imagery he used to describe God's holiness. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Clearly, we're meant to get an image of holiness here. The angels are even saying it three times, "Holy, holy, holy." And we can see what happens to a human being in God's presence. In the presence of a holy God, this man realizes how unholy he is, how he does not deserve to be there, how he cannot be there except by God's grace. He shouldn't even survive this experience. He finds himself trembling and afraid. In the presence of a holy God, our unholiness is revealed. God is perfect, holy, good, and sinless, and we're often not. We're inconsistently good, sometimes evil. We're not holy. We're not perfect. We have sin. Now, there are many colorful examples of this right in the last six commandments. We can see that we humans are known to participate in all kinds of sinful, rebellious activity. Adultery, lying, stealing, murder, coveting what other people have, disrespecting parents. That's the kind of people God has to deal with. And they can't survive in God's presence. Clearly, we are so unholy that those kinds of things need to get dealt with before we can be in the presence of and in relationship with a holy and perfect and sinless God. They have to get dealt with. They stand between us and God. They're separating us from God. And that's why the Ten Commandments were given to the people of Israel, to say, listen, this is what's standing between us. This is the kind of behavior that looks like a holy people set aside for God and for God alone, who are starting to look like God. And this isn't who you are right now. The Israelites had a great deal of difficulty with this. Through the centuries in the Old Testament part of the Bible, we can see them trying and failing to live by God's laws. We'll see it a little bit later that even as Moses came down the mountain with these laws written on stone tablets, the people were already breaking them. So, is there any hope here? Is there any hope that we can ever have a relationship with a holy God? There is, and we'll look at that tomorrow. But in the meantime, here's a question to think about. Around whom do you feel inadequate and unworthy? How do you react? Do you tremble and shake like Isaiah did, or do you react differently? How does that powerful person who makes you feel inadequate draw you in or push you away in that moment? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.